When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show for those interested in the big and small moments of history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and today we're talking about Post-it notes, a humble, plentiful office supply, and the best sticky square since the waffle.
Michelle, what are you up to?
Okay, I invented Post-its.
You're kidding. You must have made a fortune.
Well, yeah.
No offense, Michelle, but how in the world did you think of Post-its?
I invented a special kind of glue.
Oh, really? Well, then I'm sure you wouldn't mind giving us a detailed account of exactly how you concocted this miracle glue, would you?
No.
The day was April 6th, 1980. Post-it notes were sold in U.S. stores for the first time. Also known as sticky notes, the small square pieces of paper each had a strip of readherable glue on the back. This allowed a post-it note to be attached to a document or other surface and then to be removed and reused later, all without leaving behind any sticky residue. Post-it notes caught on fast with American office workers and were later adopted internationally as well. Today, the little yellow squares are a fixture of office supply closets around the world, with more than 50 billion of them produced by the 3M company each year. But that office revolution didn't happen overnight. It may not sound like a revolutionary idea, but the special glue that's used in post-it notes really was a game changer. Although at first, no one knew it. The glue was first developed in 1968, a full 12 years before Post-it notes made it to market. At the time, Spencer Silver was working as a chemist for 3M, a multinational conglomerate based in Minnesota. His job was to come up with new and better adhesives for use in various industries, but the results didn't always match up with their intended use. For example, when Silver developed the glue used in Post-it notes, he was actually trying to create a stronger, more reliable adhesive for the construction of airplanes. Instead, he wound up with a weak adhesive, one that could be removed easily, while still remaining sticky enough to be reapplied somewhere else. The secret to that reusability was something Silver referred to as microcapsules, or microspheres. Little blobs of plastic adhesive that could be spread across a surface and then activated when pressure is applied. When you stick a post-it note on an object, some of those microspheres on the back of the paper come in contact with the object's surface and hold the note in place. Then, each time you unstick that note and attach it somewhere else, some of the remaining microspheres will take over for the used ones. Eventually, though, all the blobs of glue will either be used up or become so blocked by dirt and dust that the note just won't stick anymore. Luckily, you probably have a pad of a few hundred more to keep you going. Silver knew his glue wouldn't work for building airplanes, but he still thought it had to be useful for something. For the next several years, the chemist sang the praises of microspheres and even gave an entire presentation on them at a company seminar. But none of his colleagues at 3M saw much merit in the idea, so the microspheres went on the shelf, and Silver moved on to other projects. It wasn't until 1974 that a practical use for Silver's invention was discovered. It happened by chance when another 3M employee named Art Fry was looking for an efficient way to mark pages in his hymn book. Fry went to choir practice at his church every Wednesday evening, and he would bookmark the songs for that week with pieces of paper. However, by Sunday morning, all the slips would have inevitably fallen out. He considered using strips of tape, but removing them would have damaged the pages. Fry recalled that re-adhering glue was something Silver had talked about years earlier, so he asked if he could have some to use for bookmarks. Silver obliged, and after Fry applied the glue to the edges of some scraps of yellow paper, his hymnal troubles were over. Fry was so taken with the glue that he made more bookmarks and began using them to leave notes on files at work. Eventually, his coworkers started asking for bookmarks to use in their own offices. Fry whipped up a batch, and pretty soon the staff was writing messages on the bookmarks and leaving them around the office. It was then that Fry realized they had stumbled on something big. He later recounted the epiphany, saying, quote, "I thought, what we have here isn't just a bookmark, it's a whole new way to communicate." Now, it's worth noting that although Silver and Fry claim to be the co-inventors of the post-it note, and 3M backs up their claim, another inventor named Alan Amron says that he actually came up with the idea first. He sued 3M in 1997, claiming that he had brought his press-on sticky notes invention to the company back in 1974. 3M eventually settled the suit with a cash payment to Amron, but the company has continued to cite Silver and Fry as the true inventors of the product. It's unclear what exactly happened all those years ago, but it's conceivable that Amron brought a similar product to 3M the same year that Fry and Silver developed theirs. 3M ultimately rejected Amron's idea, just as the company initially did with Fry and Silver's. Eventually, though, 3M gave in and moved forward with the version of the product that had been developed in-house. Yet even with a clear practical use in mind, 3M wasn't convinced that a sticky stack of paper would actually sell. It took several more years of back and forth, but finally in 1977, the company agreed to test market Silver and Fry's product in four U.S. cities under the name Press and Peel Notes. Unfortunately, that campaign fell flat. Hardly anyone bought the product, and 3M quietly pulled it from shelves in early 1978. The disappointing sales seemed to reinforce management's view that sticky notes were not a winning idea. But by that point, much of 3M's workforce were firm believers in the product. After all, they'd used it themselves for years. This support was enough to convince the company to give it one last try. So in 1979, 3M rebranded the product as Post-it Notes and launched a plan known internally as the Boise Blitz. They sent large numbers of free samples to offices throughout the metro area of Boise, Idaho, and then waited to see how many companies were willing to pay for additional units. To 3M's shock, more than 90% of the companies given samples reordered the product. The results spoke for themselves, so on April 6, 1980, 3M released Post-it notes nationwide. The following year, distribution was expanded to Canada and Europe, and later to just about everywhere in the world. In an increasingly digital world, Post-it notes still hold their own on bulletin boards, files, computers, desks, doors, art installations, and probably even some church hymnals. Talk about staying power. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. You can learn even more about history by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can send them my way at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.